Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast. This is the Grace for This City podcast, and we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? We're giving you scriptural motivation and strategy so you can get out there and get some stuff done for your King, King Jesus, that is. And today, friends, we've got a great episode planned today. And I'm going to continue on in a thought that I've been on, I think, for the last several podcasts. It's about the endurance of belief. And I realize that a lot of people's belief, their faith, it's been tested. It's been tried. You know, I'm personally aware of people that have had a difficult time enduring this season. There's a lot of reasons for that. Number one, you have an enemy. We've been talking about that you are a believer. Believing isn't just a nice thing that we want to do. It's what we are. We were created to believe. We were formed and fashioned to believe. And in particularly, we were created to believe the Word, to believe in Jesus. Of course, you know, He's the Word made flesh. And but that belief is tested. And with the enemy out there who is tempting you to disbelieve, he's tempting you with unbelief. I realize that this last year in particularly, some people have had a hard time of it. But I want to encourage you to endure. You know, that's the language of the scriptures. Hold fast, cling to, endure, do not waver, do not give up, press. I mean, very strong language. You know, once you've done all, stand. Don't cast away. Don't fling away your confidence. Fight the good fight of faith. I mean, the language of the Bible is strong language towards enduring, holding, not giving up. Hang on to what you're believing. I mean, faith is a substance. It's going to take upon itself flesh. But the enemy doesn't want you to endure. Galatians 6 tells us, hey, do not grow weary, because in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And I just have had in my spirit that a lot of people have had a tough time. The isolation, you know, through the quarantine, different people, you're away from friends and family. You know, I don't even know how your holidays, you know, your Thanksgiving was, if you were in an area where, you know, you weren't allowed to travel. Of course, a lot of those rules and regulations are bogus, ridiculous. I mean, they're way overreaches. But I don't know where you're at. You know, your situation may be difficult. And I know that in dark times, you kind of want to give up hope. But I believe that today's message and others that we've done, if you'll go back and meditate on them and listen to them, your faith, your belief will be strengthened. And what God has put on the inside of you, you'll be strengthened to get back on track and to believe again. That's what we do. And just the other day, I remember the Lord, He was just encouraging me about some things that were on my heart at the end of 19, first of 20. Everything that we faced this year, all the obstacles, the setbacks, the disappointments, you know, a lot of those things tried to rob some of the vision that was in my heart. But the Lord was just saying, look, who said it? And He was reminding me that He's faithful to His word. And Isaiah said that He sends forth His word, and the intention in the word is for it to perform what He sent it to do. If we'll hang on to it and cling to it, not give up, not cast it away, that word will do what it was intended to do. That word will take upon itself flesh. It will become what it was destined to be. And the Lord was just reminding me to look up, be hopeful. Come on, 2021 is just around the corner. We've got another opportunity to go after it again and not allow what we've seen in the natural and experienced in the natural to rob us of what God had intended. The word that He gave us, the vision that He gave us, the promise that He gave us. We have an opportunity to still see that fulfilled if we will hold fast. All right, so I want to jump into this and encourage us in our believing. Friends, it's a marathon. It may not be a sprint. It may be a marathon. We may have to hold. Even when we don't feel like we can hold on anymore, don't give up, friend. Keep holding on, and you will reach the finish. You'll come into due season. That's our promise from the word itself. Luke 8:18 says, take heed how you hear. Mark 4:24 says, pay attention to what you hear. Listen, all year long, you've been hearing all kinds of stuff. And we're finding out that a lot of the things that we've been hearing weren't even true. You know, that's how it works. We got to understand that there is a battle that wages war for access to our believer. We've been saying again that we were created to believe. We were formed, specifically fashioned, and intended to be a believer. One of my favorite verses in connection with this is John 6:29 in the Amplified Classic. It says, in John 6:28, they said, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And then in verse 29, Jesus replies to that question. You and I are asking, God, how can we be in the game? How can we work the works of God? What do you need from us? What do we need to do that we'd be in the middle of what you're doing? Jesus replies and he said, this is the work. This is the service that God asks of you, that you believe. What is our work? Our work is to believe. And to believe what specifically? We believe the word. Again, there is significant effort being exerted by people, organizations, the demonic realm, etc., all in an attempt to gain access to your believer. The tension that we face as believers is just that. It's the tension of what are we believing? Believing the act is not necessarily hard at all. We were made to believe. It's in our DNA. You believe all day, every day. You believe something every day. I mean, you are waking up in the morning. You woke up this morning intending to believe something. Whether or not you're going to believe the pain in your body, whether or not you're going to believe your financial situation, whether or not you're going to believe that bozo that's being a rude dog to you, whether or not you're going to believe this or believe that, you're faced with believing in something. There are no belief vacuums. It is impossible to not believe in anything. You have to believe in something, even if what you're believing in is a lie. In fact, that is the battle right there. The devil wants to substitute, Satan, the father of lies, wants to substitute the truth with the lie. In fact, that's what anti is, antichrist. It's an antichrist operation. Anti is oppositional, but it's also substitutional. And so if the devil can't just get you to outright oppose God, what he's going to do is get you to substitute a truth for a lie. And maybe that's in the area of healing or finances or relationships or with your spouse, whatever the situation, circumstance is. You got to watch out because the devil's after your believer. He wants you to believe something. And if faith comes by hearing, and faith is the substance, the devil wants you to believe something that's not of God or not connected with God. Because if you believe something that is antichrist, then it's not going to take upon itself the promise intended by the Father. It's not going to develop upon itself the flesh or take upon itself the substance God had intended. It's going to be something that's going to be perverted, twisted. It's going to harm you rather than increase and bless you. It's going to connect you to death rather than connect you to life. So listen, understand that the demonic realm, even in the natural realm here, businesses, organizations, not all bad, but just know that they're after your believer. That's why they're marketing to you. That's why constantly you're inundated with advertisements and other marketing tools, propaganda, whatever. They're after your believer. They want you to believe in them, believe in their product, so that you'll move, you'll act on what you believe. Because at the end of the day, what you do is what you actually believe. So believing the act is not necessarily hard at all. Again, we believe all day, every day. But believing in God is where it gets a little bit difficult. Now, this is because we have an enemy who targets our belief in God. I mean, God's a good God. I mean, it's easy to believe in him in that sense. But where it gets difficult is because you have somebody who's very antagonistic about your belief in him. At that point where you want to release your faith in what you believe God is saying, that's where the enemy wants to come in right there and rob that word right out of your heart. Most of the devil's tactics are employed right there, right at the point of belief in God. He's going to try and sway you or dissuade you, dissuade you, move you, maneuver you, get you out from believing in God and over here believing in something else. It goes all the way back to the garden where the strategy of disbelief, was targeted at Eve. Remember when the serpent said, "Did God really say?" Right there is where we see where the battle really lies. Did God really say. See, we were created to believe. And in particularly, we were created to believe the word. Of course, your enemy does not want you to believe the word, and he'll do everything he can to get you to believe something else as long as you don't believe the word. If you believe the word, your faith will cause that word to take upon itself substance. Again, let's say this as we kind of move on to the next section here. This is something you'll want to remember. To believe in God is to believe against your natural senses. In most cases, to believe in God is to believe against your natural senses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "But the natural man," the natural senses, "do not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Or we could say, they're received by faith. Now, this word foolishness here in the Scriptures, the definition is lacking intelligence in a matter. It means it's mindless. It doesn't have a mind for spiritual things. The natural man, your natural senses, they don't have a mind for spiritual things. They've been relegated to the realm of the natural or the realm of the senses. Spiritual things are foolish to the natural man's senses. The Amplified Bible says this, "But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts, teachings, and revelations of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, they are meaningless, they're nonsense, they're nonsensible." The things of the Spirit of God are nonsensible. They don't come by way of the senses. They come by way of belief. They come by way of the heart. They don't come by way of what you touch, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you smell. They're nonsensical. He is incapable of knowing them, recognizing, understanding, or even becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned, estimated, and appreciated. Thank you, Amplified. Again, to believe in God is to believe against your natural senses. Faith sees before your natural eyes will see. Faith will hear about a thing, before your natural ears will hear the thing. And so we need to say this, that Bible faith demands that we believe something before we have any natural proof for it. Bible faith demands that we believe something before we have any natural proof for it. Again, to just kind of go back to the basis, the very basis, the basic 101. Let's look at something here in Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, and I'm going to turn there. If you got your Bibles, turn there. Romans 10, look at this. This is very elementary, but it's important that we lay the appropriate foundations so that you can build upon them. And when we're talking about Bible faith, we need to just remind ourselves of this basic truth right here. Romans 10:10. And let's set it up with a question here. Where do you believe from? Do you believe from the mind? Do you believe in God from the mind? Do you believe in spiritual things from the mind? Where do you believe from? The Bible tells us right here. Romans 10:10, it says, "For with the heart one believes." You know, you believe from the heart. And in spiritual things, you receive them by way of the heart. Now, I'm not talking about the blood pump. I'm talking about the very core of your being, your spirit, the heart of man, the spirit of man, the innermost part of man. That's where you believe. That's the part that's been born again unto Christ, or that's the part that's dead unto him. People who aren't saved, people who are not born again, they have a spirit, but it's dead unto Christ. But when you receive him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that the Spirit will come in, and the Holy Ghost will cause your spirit to be absolutely born again. You are recreated. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Everything has become new. Now, you still have the same body you were in before you were born again, your tent, your Sukkot. You still have that body. And the promise to that is, in most instances and cases, the biblical promise towards that is it will be quickened by the Spirit of life coming out of your spirit. So healing will flow out of your spirit into your physical body so your body can stay in shape, stay healthy, stay strong so you can finish your race. But that body is trapped in a spiritual state called mortality. And we know from the scriptures that one day we'll be able to kick that off and we'll receive a glorified body and it will be immortal. But until that time, your body has to be disciplined, Paul said. It has to be kept under. The nature of the flesh has to be kept under. And you can train your body. You can train the fleshy part of you. You can train that part of you to obey the spirit. But the Bible says they're contrary to one another, so you have to work at it. It's not going to automatically want to follow the prompting of the spirit because it's nonsense to it. It's natural, but your spirit is spiritual. Your body has to be subjected. It has to be disciplined. It has to be put under. It has to be told what to do. It's a very useful tool. But if you just let it go, it's going to want to do stuff that your spirit is saying, no, that's wrong. It has lust. It'll lust after things that it doesn't need to lust after. Okay. And then your mind. The Bible says your mind has to be renewed. And we renew our mind to the realities of the spirit realm. Hallelujah. We can get into the word. We fellowship with the word. And as we fellowship with the word, it begins to renew our mind. Hallelujah. Don't throw your mind away or your body away. You need those two elements to interact with the natural realm. But they have to submit or subject themselves to the born-again spirit. Hallelujah. Let's see here. So Romans 10:10, with the heart one believes. All right, then Proverbs 4:23 in the Amplified Classic, let's read that. It says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance and above all that you guard. For out of it flow the springs or the issues of life. Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Notice it doesn't say with your brain, and it doesn't say with your natural man, and it doesn't say with the flesh. Why? Because those things don't have the mind for it. For the natural parts of you, spiritual things seem foolish. So again, to believe in God is to at most times to believe against your own insight, or as we said, your natural senses. Now let me give you some definitions here, because the Bible says to trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or your own understanding. So the word insight here and the generic definition here would be a determination that's based upon external input. Now we're talking about your natural man. So your natural man, your natural mind, your natural brain is like data storage, okay? And it's logging all the information that comes in through the eye gate, the ear gate, etc. And what your mind does, phenomenal creation. I mean, just absolutely phenomenal what the mind does. But your mind is taking in all this data, everything you heard, everything you saw, everything you felt, everything you touched. You know, it's, you know, receiving all these, all this input, and it's logging it. And your brain will take a summary of all that input. It'll take a synopsis of all that input, and it'll kick back to you when you're faced with a situation. A summary of everything that's in your brain will be kicked back to your forefront, and that's the information that you use to react. Now, that could be good depending on what's in your mind, or it could be bad. It could be poor. It could be weak. It could be unsubstantial. It could be the wrong response. Depending on what's in there is what's going to come out. I mean, you're not going to get anything out that you didn't put in. And so sometimes people's responses to things is poor because they hadn't logged good knowledge, good wisdom. They don't have the appropriate input in order to have an appropriate output. Does that make sense? Of course it makes sense, because that's the sensible part of you. So the insight is a determination based upon external input. Now it's a compound word, insight. In is incoming. That's the in part. It's something external that's coming in. It's entering. It's penetrating. Okay, it's an external, something external coming in. Sight, the second half to that word, cite, that's paradigmatic. That's a calculated summary of all information. It's a synopsis. And so some people's insight is pretty good. They've studied. They have sought knowledge. They have worked on comprehension. They've sought after wisdom. And so they have logged good things in their mind. And now when they're faced with a question, they have a good answer. When they're faced with a situation, they have a very good response to it. Insight, again, is the mind's ability to take all of life's experiences and use a summary to decode or decipher or give a position about a situation. Now, the other word he said to not lean on or trust in is the word understanding. So do not lean on or trust in your own understanding. Again, these are not necessarily bad things in and of themselves, but you've got to understand that most of our insight and most of our understanding has been based on natural things. So understanding, again, is a compound word. Under is below, beneath, structural. It means framework. It's skeletal. Standing would be resolution, determination, commitment, even conviction. So you have a skeletal conviction. What is that? What is that structural determination based upon? Well, it's based upon what has come in. Now, we're talking naturally speaking here. We're just talking about the natural function of your brain, of your mind, of how you respond to things that you're faced with on a day-to-day situation. And, you know, a lot of this stuff is based, you know, past experiences, right? All the data that has come in, your mind summarizes that. Now, see, this is where people can get off, because they misread the situation. Somebody said something to them and they took offense at it. Sometimes in situations like that, when you go back and you ask for clarity, hey, this is what I heard you say. Is that what you meant? And then they say, no, that's not what I meant. You say, oh man, I totally misheard that. See, this is why you don't want to rely on and trust in your own insight and understanding, because you could have heard wrong, saw wrong, calculated wrong, summarized incorrectly. This is why he's saying, look, in all your ways, acknowledge me first. See, your born-again spirit, while you were here in the natural body, you are simultaneously seated with him in the heavenly places. Your born-again spirit has a perspective on things in Christ Jesus that your natural man does not. You are seated in the heavenlies. You are looking down. Hallelujah. You have a perspective from a high place. You can see further. Come on. You know, if you get up higher, you can see farther. Right? When you're down here on the ground, you're limited by obstacles. But if you get up to a high place, you can see for miles. You can see things you didn't know were there because your point of perspective changes. Sometimes when you're in the middle of a situation, you've heard the saying, you're staring at the tree and you miss the forest, right? When you're in the middle of a situation, okay, you are bombarded with incoming information that may not be 100% the reality of what's going on in that circumstance. And so he said, don't rely on this. Now, don't throw your brain away, because you need your brain to interact with the natural realm. But your brain is limited. Your natural mind, your natural man is limited on picking up only what's sensible, because the natural part of you has been subjected in hope, but it's been subjected to the natural realm. But your spirit is not. Your spirit's been born again. It's alive under Christ, and it's seated with him in the heavenlies. And if you commune with the word, you'll get wisdom and insight from a heavenly place that you can implement. Come on, somebody. You can begin to act upon, move based upon in the natural. People in the natural will look at you and go, why are you doing that? And you'll say, well, because I have the word of the Lord on it. And if they're only natural minded, they may be tempted to look at you and go, bro, you are crazy, man. But see, you have insight, you have wisdom, you have understanding from a different place, and you can use that information in order to navigate the natural realm. Now, your body, your flesh, your body, even your mind, because the spiritual things are nonsense to the natural man. The natural man, which relies on its senses, sometimes doesn't compute very well the things that don't come by way of the senses, but come by way of faith. And even your natural man, sometimes you'll sit there and it's like you've got this internal battle going on. And you'll talk to yourself sometimes, go, man, you are crazy. Why are you going left? I mean, everything Logical says go right, but you have leading by the Holy Ghost saying go left. But see, sometimes there's this battle going on because your mind and your flesh, they don't understand spiritual things. And even other people will look at you crazy. But that's okay. You're going to have to get used to the tension. Let me show you a scripture here. Galatians. Let me turn there. This isn't in my notes, but Galatians, I think it's chapter 5. Right here. He says in verse 16, he says, I say, walk in the Spirit. Or we could say, walk according to this, to the Spirit. And whose spirit is he referring to here? He's referring to your spirit. I know in a lot of Bibles that the word spirit is capitalized as if it was referring to Holy Spirit. But if you look at this in context, he's actually talking about your born-again spirit. He says, walk according to the Spirit. Now, who dwells in your spirit? Your spirit is a temple of the Most High God. Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit. And so this isn't a contradictory terms here, but the reality is you need to trust in the unction and the leading of the Spirit. Your spirit, the real you, you are not a body, you are not a brain. Your spirit is born again. It's alive unto God. It's holy unto God. It's righteous. It's pure. He dwells in there. Hallelujah. You can grieve him. You can grieve your spirit. You can be grieved in the spirit. But the Holy Ghost lives in you. You're one with him and he's one with you. So you can trust the leading of the Spirit. And it is the Holy Ghost. I mean, the Zoe life is coming from the originator of Zoe life, which is the God. And by his Spirit, same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's where you get access to that Zoe life. But that Zoe life is feeding into your spirit. That Zoe life is one with your spirit. That Zoe life is giving you insight and prompting your spirit. It says, have the mind of Christ. Where is that unity with that mind of Christ? In your spirit. So again, this is not referring to the capital Holy Spirit, but it is talking about your spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Watch this. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, or wages war against the Spirit, and the Spirit, your spirit, against your flesh. Your flesh and your spirit, they've got to work together, but they don't understand one another. Watch this. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. All right, let's go to Romans. And then Paul says here, the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. You ever been in that place? Look at verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. He goes on to say, he says, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Now he's talking about the nature of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. The natural flesh part of you doesn't have a mind for spiritual things. Therefore, it's limited, if you will, for desiring certain things. It doesn't have a mind for spiritual things. So it doesn't desire spiritual things on its own, but your spirit is alive unto God. Paul goes on to say here, he says, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Well, what's he talking about? His born-again spirit. Verse 23. This is Romans 7, 23. But I see a law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. What's he saying? He said, there's a law of the mind at work here. And the law of the mind works like this. Before you were born again, you relied on your own insight and understanding. You had to rely on what you could taste, see, hear, touch, smell, etc. When you were dead unto spiritual things, all you had was your natural receptors, leading you, guiding you, etc. But when you were born again, your spirit was made alive now unto God. Your spirit now can receive, perceive, discern spiritual things. And Paul said, when I was born again, he said he saw a law begin to work, and it was the law of the mind, he said. He's got his born again spirit now, which is able to understand spiritual things. So now he has new insight, new information, new data, new understanding coming in by way of his born again spirit. The truth of God is being imparted into his spirit. But his mind only knows and still has everything he had before he was born again. All his desires, lusts, his activities, the things he liked to do, the things he didn't like to do, all that didn't magically get erased when you got born again. So that works against his spirit man. He called it the law of the mind. My spirit wants to do what's right unto God, but I have all my memories. I have all of my insight, all of my understanding. I have everything that I ever knew about the natural part of me that I've got to do something with. I can't get rid of it. It's there. It's in my members. But what do I do with it? Paul went on to say later, he said, that's the part that you have to discipline. Your mind you renew, and the flesh part of you, the member part of you, where that desire for natural things resides, that has to be disciplined. So I hope that helps you navigate Romans chapter 7. A lot of people get hung up there. I don't know what he's saying. Well, it's very easy. You used to be dead unto Christ, but now you are alive in the inward man, and now you have to navigate this part. You have to navigate the brain, the mind. And sometimes you still have desire for certain things that on the inside you know is wrong. Oh, that's impure before the Lord. But your mind said, but you used to do that, you know, you used to do that 10 years ago. Don't you still like it? And he says, no, no, no. And when revelation comes in your spirit that that is sin unto God, then you renew your mind that that's sin. And then you discipline your body to not go touch it. Hallelujah. All right, so again, this is why in all of our ways, we need to acknowledge him. You know, before we just react, our brain just automatically will give you a reaction to a thing, a reaction to a situation. But the Bible says before you just lean on that, before you put all your weight on that, acknowledge me, he says, acknowledge the word. You have access now to a perspective you didn't have before. So he says, before you would just act on what you think in the natural you should do, acknowledge the word and see if the word has a different route to take in the situation. And all that would be based upon the perspective that you have now because you're seated with him in the heavenly places. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this. Friends, this is tremendous. Hallelujah. We are not just limited to the natural things. And see, there is a realm that is unseen. Just because it's unseen doesn't mean it's unreal. Just because it's unseen doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And by way of the Spirit, the Word is revealing a thing to you. Oh, the Word will illuminate a thing. Look at this. What is that, John? Look at what the Word does. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Hallelujah. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Word was. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made, the Word. In him, the Word, was life. That's Zoe. And the life, watch this, was the light of men. See, the Word will illuminate a thing. We live in a realm that has been impacted and influenced by darkness. And in fact, the Bible says we've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness. And from the power of darkness and out of the kingdom of darkness. And the power of darkness is the attempted ability to hide something in plain sight. Listen, friend, the natural realm is easily manipulated. I mean, I know that you're pretty confident that you're staring at a thing, but I'm telling you that that thing could be shrouded in darkness. And what you think you see may not be accurate because the natural realm is easily manipulated. But the Word, when you fellowship with the Word by way of the Spirit, the Word is illuminating. The Word will illuminate a thing. And when the Word illuminates a thing, then you can act based upon that illumination. Come on, the Word is the light, okay? What did he say? My Word is a what? A light unto your path. When the Word ministers something to you, your natural eyes think they see something. But your natural eyes may be being deceived by the power of darkness or the attempted ability to hide something in plain sight. But when the Word of God illuminates your spirit, now you see beyond the darkness because the Word has illuminated a thing. Come on, somebody, are you working with me? The Word has illuminated your pathway, And what you couldn't see with the natural man, with the natural eyes, now you see by the illumination of the word. And if you will renew your mind to it, if you will subject your mind to the revelation of God's word and then discipline your body to take a step, come on, you may have to tell your body, you may have to say, foot, step forward in the name of Jesus. Because your natural man's going, oh, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. I can't see. This doesn't make logical sense to me. You're saying, go out into this place of what is unknown to me. This does not make sense. It's not sensible to me. But in your spirit, you have revelation from the Holy Ghost, and Holy Ghost is saying, put your foot over there. Hallelujah. Step out on the water, and I'll hold you above the waves. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Nothing in the natural would confirm it. But the light of the word illuminated the thing. Remember when Jesus told Peter, come out on the water. What was that? Everything in the natural contradicted that. But the word brought illumination to Peter, and he knew if I step out there, come on, that the word will fulfill, will perform what it was intended to do. He received the word of come out on the water, and the word performed. He believed it. His faith took upon substance, and here he is walking on the water right out there to Jesus. What about Abraham? I was thinking about this the other day, and I heard somebody say, they kind of summarized like that Romans 4 in this way, that it was faith and the contradiction. I mean, what did the word say? I'm going to make you a father of many nations. But what did the natural say? Well, your body's dead, and the womb of your wife is dead. There's no way. There's no way you can have kids. But the word said something else. See, the word illuminated a thing that was hidden in plain sight. Hidden by what? Hidden by what the natural man was saying. Well, you're old and you can't have kids. Your wife is old and her womb is dead and she can't have kids. Well, that's what the natural said. And if they solely relied upon what they saw or felt in the natural, they would have not have walked in the promises of God. Come on, the word had a perspective that was higher than the natural perspective. And nothing in Abraham and Sarah's situation made sense. It wasn't sensible, but it doesn't come by way of the senses. Notice the promise of God did not come by way of the natural senses. It came by way of faith. And then it took upon itself substance. And then what the word said, do you see how it completely rearranged and readjusted the natural in order to make room for the word? Listen, all things are upheld by the word. Do you realize that the word can come in and pull rank, as it were, and totally rearrange a situation? Why? Because the word, all power is in the word. All things are upheld by the word. We found that out in Hebrews chapter 1. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Or we can say it like this, all of his power is in his word. Everything that we see was created by the word. And there's nothing that was made that wasn't made by the word. So the word has supreme authority in every situation. And when the word comes into a situation, it doesn't matter what the natural says, because the word has a higher authority than over what the natural realm says. And so the word can come in and take upon itself flesh or substance and totally rearrange a situation in order to line up with what the word says. He said, you'll be a father of many nations. His body said, no, you're not. His wife's body said, no, you're not. But they didn't take the contradiction as the only way forward. They received the word. They considered that he was faithful who promised. They believed and received that word. They clung to, held on, and guess what? The word, which always has preeminence, the word came in and totally rearranged the situation. It performed what it was sent to perform, and everything else had to arrange itself after the preeminence of the word. Hallelujah. Friend, what are you carrying? What promise are you carrying? If you'll hang on to that, listen, even if it seems to be a contradictory reality to what you're looking at in the natural, if you'll hang on to the word of the Lord, then everything will rearrange itself to get in the appropriate priority and arrangement after the word. Everything in the natural will have to reorder itself in order that the word of the Lord will have preeminence in a thing. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Oh, thank you, Father, for it. Isn't that absolutely amazing? That is absolutely amazing. Let me go back to this statement. I kind of got out ahead of myself here, but let's go back to this statement because I want to make sure you understand we're not throwing our minds away And obviously, you're not going to escape this body right now. And so you're going to have to work with these elements. Okay, you're a triune being. You are a spirit. You are not a mind. You are not a body. You are a spirit. You have a mind. Okay, your spirit utilizes your mind. And in particularly, your brain is a creation of the dust of the ground, the dust of the earth. And you live in a body, or you live in a tent. You're Sukkoting right now on the earth. Okay, so you got to get those in the appropriate order. You don't want to be led by your brain. You don't want to be led by your body, your flesh. You want to be led by the spirit. But your mind's amazing, so don't throw your mind away. And what your mind and subconscious can do is a masterful work of creation. But in its fallen state, listen, it doesn't consider the realm of the supernatural unless it submits itself to have knowledge of that realm, enter into the equation by way of your spirit, and then you discipline it to be renewed to this knowledge. So again, verse 6, he says, in all your ways, we're back in Proverbs, in all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him, and he'll make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. So you'll have illumination about the obstacle, that in the natural you couldn't see the obstacle because it was shrouded by the power of darkness. But when the word illuminates your path, you'll see the obstacle and you'll be able to navigate the obstacles. But the only way you would do that is because you have the knowledge now. Light of the word has illuminated a thing. So in a real day-to-day situation, practical situation here, you're going to have to, you're going to have your senses, your emotions, your feelings, that whole mechanism, even your life's practical guidance and wisdoms, it's going to tell you something about a situation. But you may have the Lord say something completely different. Your natural insight and understanding may say, choose option A. But your spirit, or the insight and the discernment coming from the Lord and the light of the word, it'll come out of your heart. It may say, choose option C. And many times, option C will seem impossible to the natural insight or understanding. But listen, your heart doesn't care if it's impossible. Your heart doesn't care. Your mind's freaking out, and your body may be freaking out, but your heart believes that all things are possible. But you're going to have to choose one to act upon. And the appropriate order here is that you believe with the heart, you renew your mind to get in line with what the Spirit is saying, and then you discipline your body where your body's not going to contradict your actions or activity. Let me give you a kind of a story here from the Bible that may illustrate this. Mark 9:23. You know the story. This father, he's got a kid, he's demon-possessed. He takes him to the disciples, says, hey, I need my son healed. Well, they struggle, and they can't get the boy delivered. So the father takes him to Jesus, and there's some conversation here. Jesus responds, if you can believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, watch this. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now, this passage right here is our daily reality. He said, Lord, I believe. That was his heart. And many of us say this very same thing. The heart is uniquely designed to believe that there is a way through the situation, that there is hope on the other side, that something can be done to change what is happening, that anything is possible. Man, your heart is designed to believe that, to respond that way, to have that perspective. That there's a way where there seems to be no way. And then this man said, help my unbelief. Now, this is his natural man. You know, this is his mind. This is his body. His heart heard the words of Jesus, but his natural man or his natural mind did not. I mean, he's just looking at the situation. His heart has the ability to consider what Jesus said. Hey, all things are possible. But his mind does not have the same capacity to see the possibilities that his heart does. This is the tension that you and I live and face every day. Our hearts are hearing, but we believe or trust is more real many times what we understand through our five senses than what we discern with our spirit. Oh, your faith is precious, friend. Your belief is significant. And our belief will allow us access to spiritual things. Of course, in contrast to that, our unbelief or our disbelief will keep us out of certain things. This is where the strategy of the enemy comes in. Satan, the great opposition here, he will work a strategy against you of unbelief, which is functionally disbelief. Disbelief sets itself in a position of opposition. It's antagonistic. It is resistant. And the enemy will try and maneuver you out of belief over into disbelief. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll bring this podcast to a close. Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart, watch this, of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. A couple things in that verse there. Number one, evil is connected with unbelief. You have an enemy that's trying to tempt you with evil, getting over into evil. And how did he say he's doing that? Unbelief. Listen, unbelief is evil. You were created to believe, but you have a tempter. You have an enemy, Satan. And his strategy is to get you to participate in his evil. And it's an evil of unbelief, or functionally disbelief. It's a hatred of God. It's a rejection of God. It's opposition to the word. The word was designed to be received. The word was designed to be believed. The word was designed to take upon itself flesh. The word was designed to fellowship with you and you to fellowship with it. But the devil hates that. Satan hates that. And so his evil scheme is to get you to be in opposition to it. The other thing here is we become partakers if we hold our confidence steadfast to the end. That's what Galatians says. Don't grow weary in well-doing, but you will reap, come on, if you faint not. You'll reach due season. Come on, you'll reap the manifestation. Come on, there will be a day of birth. Your time of hopeful expectation will not be delayed indefinitely. If you will hold fast, there will be a due season. There will be a birth of the thing. That what you're believing God for will ultimately take upon itself flesh and manifest itself in the natural realm. You'll be able to interact with it then with the natural senses. Hebrews 4:3 in the Amplified says, for we who have believed, adhere to, trust in, and rely on that. But those who have believed, watch this, do enter. Notice belief. And I'm talking about belief in God. I'm not talking about belief in the strategy of opposition. I'm not talking about believing in the lie. I'm talking about the word is revealing God to you. Remember, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Come on, the word was sent. He sent the word. He sent the word. Psalm 107, Psalm 107. He sent the word. It healed, delivered. He sent his word to fellowship with us. He sent his word that we could cling to. All right, so those of us who have believed, we do enter rest. In accordance with his declaration, watch this, that those who do not believe, do not enter. So listen, your belief in the word takes you places. Your unbelief in the word inadvertently keeps you out of places. See the strategy of the enemy? If you believe, you enter. If you disbelieve, you don't enter. What's the devil trying to get you to do? Disbelieve. So that what? You won't enter. Enter what? Well, into the promises. The Passion Translation says, for those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, we experience the realm of confident rest. Of course, he's talking about the Sabbath. Christ is our Sabbath. And the other connection to the Sabbath, and I think I'm going to have to close the podcast here. This will take us to a whole nother place. The concept of the Sabbath is also the concept of grace. He's talking about the Sabbath day. He's talking about things that are provided for us by grace. It's our Sabbath. Christ is our Sabbath. In him, we find our completion. He's the finished work. So we can rest. It's our Sabbath. He's our Sabbath. Grace, everything provided for us is by grace, but it's a Sabbath. It's a Sabbath experience. It's a Sabbath manifestation. We rest on this day. Somebody else worked. And we enter into his rest. He worked, we enter into his rest. He worked, we enter into his Sabbath. He worked, he provided, he toiled, we enter into his rest. His provision, we go into his rest. Well, how do you get there? By faith is what Hebrews is saying. That'll be a whole nother podcast right there. I better stop now. Well, friend, I hope you were encouraged by what we were talking about today. And I want you to endure. The whole goal in these last few podcasts has been to just strengthen your resolve to continue to believe. Come on, you're carrying something. You have a word from the Lord. And maybe you received that word back in January. And this whole year, it just seems like one big strategy to abort what you're carrying. But listen, endure, friend, and you will reach due season if you will not give up. Don't give up. Keep believing. We need what you're carrying to take on flesh and manifest itself. Hallelujah. Be a blessing to others. So stay steadfast. Listen, call us if you need any support. Let us pray with you. Let us agree with you. Let us encourage you in the Lord. Call us 870-741-9099. Send us an email. Let us know what you're believing God for. Let us celebrate with you. Let us add our faith with your faith. Hallelujah. Send us an email. hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Hey, if you want to partner with the podcast, man, we would enjoy it. Hallelujah. We would celebrate together. If you want to help us get the podcast out there, keep the podcast out there. It does cost a little bit to do this. And so if you just feel like you want to partner with that, there's several ways that you can give financially. You can go to the website, gracecitychurch.tv/give. Right there, you can give there. Or you can text the give, 84321. That's 84321. Text the amount. Follow the prompts if it's the first time you've ever done that. Super easy. Or you can mail us a check, P.O. Box 7, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. That's P.O. Box 7, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. All right, friend, we love you, and we bless you. And until next time, come on, endure.